Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm Guy, and that's Larry Kruger. And this live stream is a collaboration. If you're watching me where you normally see me, then you're in the right place. If you're watching Larry where you normally see Larry, then you're in the right place. And we got a lot to get to because the NFL Combine players get on the field on Thursday. And Larry's done more mock drafts than anybody that I've seen on the internet. And so we'll go through some of that. Before we do, Larry, sponsors to shout out as you normally do when you host this conversation on your channel.
Yeah, Pig in a Pickle, the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to them. Thanks to Marin Auto Glass, Underdog Fantasy, Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, and ValleyHillRoofing.net.
So you've done all the mock drafts. And I think the overarching question I want to ask you, because this is the conversation I've had probably the most with people, is what percentage chance, Larry, are you putting that the 49ers are drafting an offensive lineman with the 31st pick in the draft, or with the 27th pick or the 19th pick? Or, like, at this point, how much attention should we be giving to non-offensive linemen in the first round?
I think a lot, just because kind of the way the board, you know, comes off the, you know, the way it looks like right now, it looks like there's a very good chance that, you know, that you may be looking at like the seventh or the eighth best offensive tackle by the time they pick, and to me, that the value may not be there. And it all kind of is dependent on who they like, and you know, who they like as far as you know, how the board shakes out. So, you know, like the blue chip guys, Joe Alt from Notre Dame, he'll be gone. Fashanu from Penn State, he'll be gone. Fuaga and J.C. Latham from Alabama, those guys will be gone. And maybe even Fatanu from Washington, I think he'll be gone. Maybe even Graham Barton. So they're going to be looking at, you know, Tyler Guyton and some of these other guys. And I kind of like some of the guys further down the board even more when you factor in some of the D linemen that they may be staring at the end of round one.
You know, as somebody who's been pro offensive lineman in this first round, and I've been talking about it for about a week and a half, I think the Niners are in a good spot in a sense just to get general talent picking at 31, because I did the math yesterday. I think 16 of the top 32 picks are going to be either quarterback, receiver, or tackle. Now, Albert Breer wrote he thinks there could be seven tackles that go in the top 20. And if that's the case, it pushes a lot of other talent down to the 49ers. Not ideal if you want to tackle, right? And that's why you see a lot of these guys who are college, maybe tackles, but project to be inside interior offensive linemen being mocked to the 49ers, which is fine, Larry. I'd be fine with them taking a guard. Like, they got to protect the middle against Brock too. Chris Jones plays in the middle. I don't know what team he's going to be on, but L'Jarius Sneed just got tagged today, and the report is now they're turning their attention to signing Chris Jones. The Niners play six of PFF's top 10 rated interior pass rushers, next year on their schedule. So I'm fine. Like, I'm the positional value of the interior line, I'm fine with, but the case definitely can be made. I think this is part of what you're making. And a lot of people have been responding, reacting to some of the videos I've made in the last week and a half with this, which is you can scheme around your offensive line. The Niners just did it. They can do it again. The defensive line talent is the one that's harder to come by, and that's where they should use this pick. So, you know, when you think about 16 of the 32, if that's going to be the number, then maybe it does leave defensive line talent. But I think, like, Jonah Ellis is a guy I know. I watched one of your mock draft video you like. You know, he's not a first-round guy. Like, you can get him later. How much later can you get him at the end of the third round? We'll see. He's a guy I really like also out of Utah. He's kind of, you know, to me, he's like, Utah's had this with the Bartons. You know, Cody Barton, the guy that injured Trey Lance, is one of three NFL Bartons.
Right.
The Ellises are, I think there's three if you count one of the brothers and the dad, Luther Ellis.
Luther, Jonah Christian.
Ellis. Yeah, Christian was the Falcon and the Saint, right? He had a couple other brothers that played college football.
Eagles cut him, right? Didn't the Eagles cut him? Okay. After the Niners burned him in with the Debo tunnel screen in that game earlier this year, he got cut the next day.
I think they, you know, the feeling is, this was the other thing, I think Breer said, or Jim Nagy said this, that the draft is going to kind of really fall off the map in the fourth round and beyond. It's not a deep draft. There's not many underclassmen in this draft. But in the first three rounds, you could actually get some pretty good players. You know, but here's what I would say about John Lynch and defensive linemen. They don't, especially, are you talking any defensive lineman or interior defensive lineman? You're talking, I mean, Jonah Ellis.
Well, they have six free agents. I mean, they have six free agents, and I think their D-line, to me, was the most disappointing part of their team last year when you looked at who they had and what they got out of those guys. So I think they're, you know, I think there's a very good chance the 49ers look at their team this year and say, you know what? We don't need Randy Gregory. We don't need Chase Young. We don't need Kevin Givens. We don't need Sebastian Joseph Day. You know, Beal, question mark. Drake Jackson, question mark. Kalia Davis, very much a question mark. Is Kinlaw coming back? Is Cleveland Farrell coming back? Those would be the two guys I would probably try to bring back. Neither is awesome or coming off an incredible year. So I think they're wide open. I think this is the year where they restructure their D-line with a bunch of new faces and also cheaply. I think they could go heavy D-line in this draft.
Who do you like?
I like a lot of guys. I like Darius Robinson, the edge rusher from Missouri, who's, you know, was a practice player of the week in Mobile. He's a defensive end, but he's 290 pounds. And he looks like the kind of guy that you could probably have lose 8 or 10 pounds and he could be a 4-3 defensive end at 280, but with speed. He reminds me a lot of kind of a bigger, maybe a slightly bigger version of Aldon Smith, not quite the athlete, but, and then I love a lot of those interior guys. I like Rook Aroro, but Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State, I think had a 27% pass rush win rate, which was like second in the nation this year. So, you know, a couple of those guys definitely come to mind. And those guys, Jenkins is 285, Hall's 280. They're in that, you know, they're great movement guys, but they could play, you know, they could play inside, they could play outside, depending on the line. And then there's the big boys inside too, like McKinley Jackson, who they met with in Indy. I love McKinley Jackson. I'm an A&M fan. He's monster. He was a star in high school. They were talking about the NFL when this kid was in high school in Mississippi. A&M recruited him. He came in. He was awesome. He was their leader. He was their sack guy inside. So I like him quite a bit. And then there's Tavondre Sweat from Texas and Murphy from Texas, the two guys from Texas. Sweat's like 350 pounds and immovable. And, you know, they haven't replaced DJ Jones. So he could be that one technique guy. So it's there's options on the D line, but to me, a lot of them are going to be sitting on the board. The sweet spot is right where the Niners pick. So I think that you might be able to get any number of those guys right there.
I thought it was interesting to hear John Lynch talk yesterday about somebody asked about Alabama and Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Very odd.
And yeah, it was odd. And I don't know, but I thought it was interesting because, you know, when you watch like Howie Roseman and the Eagles draft, you look at their draft and it's just like seven Georgia guys, or at least that's how it feels sometimes. Right.
Yeah.
And the Niners haven't necessarily drafted that way. Although, you know, the Niners and Eagles, I think, kind of like the same type of guy, the same personality type of guy. And I thought it was interesting that he talked about Saban and just kind of the competitiveness, the knowledge for the game that you get if you were to draft a guy at Alabama. You also get premium prospects, right? Like Michigan has, whatever it is, 18 guys at the combine, premium prospects, Texas premium prospects. I only think, you know, you're only going to get more premium prospects from these bigger schools because guys are going to be transferring for the NIL money after their freshman or sophomore years. If they weren't a premium prospect to start, eventually they end up as one because they go to, you know, a football powerhouse. It just made me wonder, listening to him, you know, if that's going to be the Jair Brown came from a tough nose program last year and seemed to match it. You know, when you watched him play at Penn State, like he was pretty representative. Jonah Ellis, Utah's not Michigan, but that program has a identity, you know, and it just hearing that answer. Now, he just answered a question he got asked, but it made me think about what the Niners identity is. The 49ers as an organization, you would say, are at the top of the list right now in the NFL of organizational identities. And, you know, some of these big time programs have very clear identities. And it just made me wonder how much they put stock in that sort of thing when they're evaluating these guys.
The only thing I'll say is it's very risky because to take all these Bama or Georgia guys, because just because you're getting the best athlete doesn't mean you're getting the best player. Like Robert Beal Jr. at 6'4", 255 probably is one of the best athletes at defensive end that in last year's draft. He ran sub 4.5, but he was hurt all through camp, you know, didn't make an impact till later in the year. Then when he did, you know, it wasn't significant. Like one of the most blue chip players in this draft that a lot of people will be like, oh, the Niners got to take Amarius Mims, the big Georgia tackle. He's 6'7", he's 330. He kind of looks like Broderick Jones, who the Steelers took in the first round last year, but he's played 8 games. He's had 8 starts. So, you know, I think since the Niners have had, you know, wasn't that long ago, they had that year where they had like 22 guys on IR. You got to figure out who plays the games, you know, not just who's got the talent, the high end talent, but who actually plays. And make sure to me, if you want to find out, you know, if you want to avoid injuries and guys who miss a lot of games, then draft guys who played a lot in college, guys who didn't miss starts, value that. That's the way I would look at it. I'll tell you one thing too. If you're the 49ers, if you're really looking to rebuild the right side of your offensive line, two guys that I would definitely take a look at in this draft are the South Dakota State tandem, where you have Garrett Greenfield played right tackle at South Dakota State, and then you had Mason McCormick play right guard at South Dakota State. These guys, you know, already get along great and, you know, have a great chemistry.
You're saying take both of them?
I like both of them. In fact, the more I look at it, the more I did the research on these guys are really close too. So it's like, if you want a productive, you know, right side of your offensive line in a year or two, you know, Greenfield and McCormick might be, you know, it sounds like a law firm, but you know, Greenfield and McCormick might be your tandem, and you might be able to get both of them, you know, after the third round. So, you know, I might be interested in that if I could get both those guys. McCormick's a brawler, and Greenfield is pretty close to it.
And that's a blue collar. I mean, that's a program with an identity too, right? Historically.
They just had Tucker Kraft go to the Packers last year.
That's right. So you think, it sounds like you think the Niners are staying put at 31.
Not necessarily, but I think the value is in more bites of the apple. So, I think they're, I think they're going to play it where they're going to, if you ask me, how will they play their hand of cards? They will hold on draft day right to their pick to see if the tackle that they want falls to them. And then if the tackle that they don't want, you know, if the tackle that they want doesn't fall to them, I could see them trading back 4 or 5 or 10 picks and getting more draft capital. You know, people say, well, how many rookies do they need? It's not about that. It's about how many bites of the apple and how many rookies can you, if you can draft a dozen rookies, you know what? You can keep your roster really cheap. You can keep your roster really flexible. So, and I kind of agree with that assessment that there's going to be really good players in the third and fourth round. So if you can move down in round one and get a couple extra picks in the fourth round, that might be like, you know, the fourth round pick might be the same guy that you get in the second round.
You know, right now, the recent history of their top three round picks, it's not been very productive, right? I mean, the last three years, it's Brown, it's Moody, and Aaron Banks. And that's it. And, you know, now maybe Danny Gray, maybe I didn't think, I said this the other day, and I don't know if you agree with this. You and I haven't talked about this, so I want, you can cross-check me on this, Larry. That's what this is called, cross-checking. Cam Latu, I don't think they were going to cut him, but he was looking pretty cuttable before he got hurt in camp this year. What did you think? I mean, are you holding your breath?
Couldn't catch a cold. I mean, the guy couldn't catch any balls, ricocheted off him. So, I mean, was it nerves? Might've been, you know, Jerry dropped a bunch of balls. You know, I'm not saying this guy's Jerry, but
Jerry Rice, for those of you listening at home.
Yeah. Jerry Rice dropped tons of passes as a rookie. And then obviously was great after that. But Latu is big and athletic and he moves well, but he just couldn't catch at all. So was that just the game, the speed, he gets a pass. He they redshirted him, but I would not go to camp saying, oh, yep, Latu's my number two tight end. In fact, to me, I've already kind of centered on a sleeper tight end that I just love in this draft. And his name is Mason Plein. And he's a basketball player from Furman who played at Ferris State and now is at Furman. And he's probably a day three guy. You know, maybe late day three guy, but he's 6'7", 6'8", 250. He's a mechanical engineering major, so he's super smart. And then if you watch his basketball film, at least at Ferris State, he looked like Aaron Gordon. And we're talking about 6'7", 250. So he's crazy athletic, 10.5-inch hands, you know, mechanical engineering major. I mean, they met with him, I guess, at the either the Shrine or the Hula Bowl. I love Mason Plein from Furman, and I think he'll probably be on the board, you know, fifth round, sixth round, maybe even the seventh round.
Not at the combine though, right?
I don't think he got the combine invite. I mean, he's listed
combine in the snub, draft. So he's going to be hungry.
They list him at prospect number 485. So he's projected today to not be drafted. He will be drafted, I think, but you're talking about a day three guy and a day three guy that could be awesome.
I think it's interesting, and you didn't address this, so you can say, but, you know, I think we evaluate every tight end prospect for the 49ers with, like, well, can he be Kittle? Can he block also? And they've done a lot of the guys who are block first, but remember that moment when they had Jordan Reed and what a combination it was before he got hurt. Is he in that, when you say basketball player, you know, you think Jimmy Graham, is he in that mold? Would it be a departure from their block, you know, kind of their block first guys, it feels like, that they've had?
Well, this guy's pretty nasty. So he, you know, anybody who's 6'8", you wonder about the leverage play and
right.
you know, how can he hold his blocks at the line of scrimmage? But I kind of think this is a unique tight end group. I mean, you got Brock Bowers, who's a Napa kid who went to Georgia, should have went to Cal. He's probably going top 10.
Should have, right? According to who?
Yeah,
you, well, me, and Justin Wilcox.
He should have went to Cal or Stanford in past years. Yeah, 20 years ago, he would have went to
he
Cal.
Regrets it. I love sure my guys at Cal, but
I'm sure he doesn't regret it. But Brock Bowers is a blue chipper. And then the Jatavion Sanders kid is a high from second Texas. Round pick. He's a tremendous athlete. And then it's kind of beauty in the eye of the beholder. I kind of like Ben Sinnott from K-State, probably in round 3. A lot of people like Dallin Holker from Colorado State. I don't know if you did any of their games this year.
I didn't, but
he's really interesting. Theo Johnson from Penn State is a big, you know, 6'6", 6'7", player. A.J. Barner from Texas. Jack Westover, you know him, from Washington.
Yep.
Isaac Rex. I did a little video on Isaac
Westover's
Rex.
Westover's a little different than some of these bigger guys you're talking about.
Yeah, he's not as big, but he's got sticky hands. Isaac Rex had 12 touchdowns as a freshman and at BYU, and then went on his Mormon mission and, mm-hmm. you know, speaks, you know, I think he speaks Samoan and he's older, but he's like 6'6", 255. He's a great receiver. His dad was a really good receiving tight end. So, I mean, I kind of like the Arizona kid, Tanner McLaughlin, who's, you know, 6'5", 250.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah.
Good player, so, productive.
Yeah, really good, really good player.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about Butcher Box for years. High-quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham. Code HAM. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
West, you know, you remember last year the Niners signed Jack Coletto from Morgan State? And people were like, oh, is this the Juszczyk replacement? And I think the answer to that was definitely no. To me, Westover's a little bigger. Westover would be the closest thing to that, I think, in the potentially in the future, more so than even just like a true tight end. I think he might be, I don't know if he's, it may be hard to find a guy as athletic as Juszczyk, but to me, when I watch him play, he looks a little more like that than, you know, like your next George Kittle or some of these other bigger guys that we're talking about. What do you think?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny.
Larry doesn't like it.
Well, no, I like the idea of replacing Juszczyk this year, but you're going with the tight end, the bigger bodied guy. I look at it more like this is another opportunity to put speed on the field. And the two guys that I would love to see replace Juszczyk would be Isaac Garendo from Louisville, who's a running back. He played a lot of one back. He's 6 feet, about 220 pounds. He runs 4.37. So, I mean, that would give them a totally different look. The other guy that I really like is a juice replacement. Is Cody Schrader from Missouri, who's 5'9", 220, something like that. And he's just, I don't know if you saw Schrader at Missouri, but he was just awesome, man. I mean, he's kind of like a Juszczyk. I mean, he's more of a running back than a fullback. So these guys would have to be willing to kind of switch to fullback. But I don't know. That's the other guy that I kind of think of as a fullback is the Notre Dame running back, Audric Estime, who's 6 feet, about 230 pounds. But see, I'm looking at that fullback spot instead of like a power spot, more of another place to get speed and big playability on the field, because it seems like they don't really use the fullback as the lead blocker that often. It's more often kind of like, let's throw him the ball in space. He's our gadget guy. And to me, like Cody Schrader or Isaac Garendo would give them an element that even Juice does not really provide.
Well, two things. One, I think he's going to be on the team next year, Juszczyk. Two, I don't think you could just straight up one for one replace him with a guy who's new to the team, especially a rookie. I think if anything, you're bringing somebody in that has to then figure it out for a year. And then maybe, I just think you're asking too much. He does too much. And three, I would say, I disagree a little. I think he ends up in the fire a lot when it comes to blocking. Maybe it's not always just straight hitting the B gap as being the first guy there. Sometimes it's him and Kittle. But I think I see a lot of Juszczyk running in, running against the grain. Like everyone's going one way. Juszczyk is flying through little gaps, trying to block on the backside. I think it's a pretty complicated blocking position that you cannot replace easily. I think it's going to be very hard. And the beauty, like this is where I get hung up a little bit, Larry, when we start talking about pass catching tight ends or eventual juice replacements or whatever, you know, even receivers. There's just, if Ayuk is coming back, there are just not that many targets on the field for this team. And that's where I think your draft pick early is much better spent on one of the, either offensive or defensive line, right? Like you think about what a big part of this team Juwan Jennings is. I think he had like 16 catches in the regular season. You know, Danny Gray. On one hand, I'd say Danny has not made a space for himself. On the other hand, I'd say it's pretty hard to make a space for yourself when you get like two routes a game when you're healthy and you better catch the go. You better even get the go ball on that one route you run. So I you know, I've changed my thinking a little bit on this team post Trey Lance pick, where on one hand, if you can redshirt, it's a great place to be. That's what Juwan Jennings did. He was a seventh round pick. If you're a first or second round pick, you don't get nearly as much leeway to just redshirt. They try to put you on the field. And that's a tough place to be on this team because you have to earn your keep immediately. And it's hard because there's other guys that deserve it more than you, probably, you know, and that dynamic. And
pressure, expectations.
How about just the complication of the offense? How about just that?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what, you know, Juice told me that he felt Jack Coletta was the smartest football player he had ever come across. And he was a mechanical engineering major from Oregon State. And when I asked Jack, I said, Jack, what's your strength as a player? And he's like, I can memorize all the formations and all the plays pretty quickly. You know, he's like, he kind of said, man, I'm a smart freaking guy, you know?
Yeah.
But that also helped him. He looked, you know, he's not the most athletic guy. By the way, he's no longer a Niner. I think he's a Steeler. They picked him up, you know, late in the year. But, and Coletta was just kind of a borderline NFL athlete. He needed to work on his strength and explosiveness and all that. But smart as you're going to find, you know, really, really smart.
So, by the way, this is not, Larry, this is not combine related, but I just wanted to share it since I put out a video on Nick Sorensen this morning. Did you hear what Matt Barrow said about him?
Yeah, that if they go internally, he'll be the guy.
Yeah, and then he started he started rattling off all the things he does well. And a buddy of mine saw it and he texted me and he said that he played with Sorensen in Cleveland. He's like just a great guy, very sharp, scout team defense, special teams ace. Always respected him because he lasted so long, but physically looked like an average Joe, didn't look like a pro athlete, but was fast and played hard with great technique. So just as an aside on Sorensen, I mean, between what I heard from Barrows and, you know, just hearing some of the flexibility he has, he coaches linebackers, he coached Nichols, he coached special teams in a pinch for a year in Jacksonville. Do you have a take on Nick Sorensen? At this point, it feels like to me their Hail Mary is Ulbrich, and if not him, it's Sorensen as the next defensive coordinator. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's a huge risk. I mean, you're replacing Steve Wilks, who had a top 10 defense and a top 5 scoring defense, with a guy who's never done the defensive coordinator position, and you just think he's a sharp young guy. Okay, I mean, it's great. I mean, well,
what was Robert Saleh? What was D'Amico Ryans?
D'Amico Ryans played in the NFL for a long time. Yeah, but I mean, D'Amico, this guy played for the Dolphins and Rams, and yeah, this guy played. There's no question. But I mean, D'Amico Ryans was a starting middle backer who wore the green dot.
I understand, but that didn't make Ken Norton a great coordinator.
No, it's not. It's not a pre. It's not automatic. But to me, and Ken was not, obviously. But I mean, you're gonna. To me, if you're gonna get rid of a guy who was a top tier coordinator, and how could you say that Wilkes was anything but? You have to get somebody that immediately walks in the room, and everybody's like, "Yeah, yeah, that guy's better." Otherwise, you got guys going, I think Shanahan's other thing is I don't think Shanahan wants to be on the defensive headsets. I don't think he wants to jump the defensive coordinator mid-game and say, I don't like that call. So if you go with Sorensen, man, I mean, he'd have to be a pretty special guy to, in his first year as a coordinator. And his first year as a coordinator is going to be at the NFL level. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. I mean, I know he's well thought of, but to me, if you're going to replace Wilkes, you need a guy who the players have immediate buy-in. And maybe they do on this guy. I don't know. I don't know how the players feel about Nick Sorensen. But so, he's never done it before, and that always makes me a little skeptical.
Well, how the players feel is critical, right? I mean, he filled in for a year as a linebackers coach, so you got a pretty good idea how Fred Warner feels. And we know that Kyle's not afraid to take Fred Warner's feedback because he did it this year with Steve Wilkes. And I agree with you. Kyle wants, just like Kyle wanted, he wants no part of special teams film. That's why he drafted Jake Moody. He doesn't want to be the guy poking his head in the defensive meeting room. I was pro Steve Wilkes hire. I thought it was a really good hire. I think he's an impressive guy. I do think you can debate whether or not he's an established and proven defensive coordinator. I'm using hindsight here, but when you look back at his career, he never did it in the same place, you know, for an extended period ever.
Yeah, no, I know. So that worried me when I saw the Wilkes, I saw his, you know, Wikipedia, and he, in 25 years, the guy was in 22 spots. I mean, that's a red flag. My big red flag with Sorensen.
If I can interrupt just for a second. Oh, yeah. I don't think there's some big risk in, like, I think there is a lot of pressure in becoming a first-time defensive coordinator. I don't think any of that comes from replacing Steve Wilkes. You know what I mean? Like, you're not replacing Dick LeBeau here, with all due respect.
No, but, you know, you were there when Wilkes would speak. I mean, the man had a strong presence about him.
Definitely.
And my bigger issue with Sorensen is
he may be more head coach than coordinator.
Yeah, there's that. But it's not that I think Wilkes was incredible. I just think that you're going to have to get somebody who you really feel great about. And Sorensen's only been with the Niners since 2022.
Yeah.
So he's only had 2 years in the organization. I don't know. I mean, I don't know him, so I'm not going to sit here and say that he can't do it. I just think that, man, if you can get, I mean, I'm thinking big, you know, I'm thinking big names. So I'm thinking Vrabel. I'm thinking Gus Bradley. I'm thinking Belichick. I'm thinking Earl Olbrich. I'm thinking guys who have done it. And are just the day they walk in, everybody's like, oh yeah, 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 we're following this guy. Sorensen maybe a little bit of a projection, but so we'll see.
I mean, but Kyle's done better with that than look. Who wouldn't want Belichick or Vrabel? I hope we get shocked. I've given up on that dream though. Ulbrich's under contract and Gus Bradley's under contract, and both those guys. It's kind of that weird, you only want what you can't have. The second the Jets like, yeah, take him. You go, wait a second. Why were they so quick to give him up? Now, maybe it would just be, hey, we're all solid dudes and we all respect each other and Ulbrich wants to go, so we'll let him go. I think it'd be a little Robert Saleh in a must-win year letting his defensive coordinator walk seems kind of crazy. But
well, isn't Aaron Glenn the DC?
I mean, I thought Ulbrich was calling plays this year. Ulbrich's the defensive coordinator.
No, I think it's Jets. Aaron Glenn. Isn't Aaron Glenn the defensive coordinator?
Well, sure if Aaron Glenn's the defensive coordinator, then there's nothing stopping the Jets from. The Jets can't stop him.
I don't think they can stop him. But even if they wanted to stop him, you can always throw that assistant head coach tag and then elude the.
Ulbrich's the defensive coordinator.
Well, what's
I'm
Aaron
looking
Glenn?
At the Jets.
I thought Aaron. I watched Hard Knocks. Aaron Glenn was the guy leading the meetings. Was he not? I saw Ulbrich leading the linebacker meetings.
You think,
or maybe I'm thinking Lions.
Lions?
I'm thinking Lions. Maybe I'm thinking of the Lions.
You're thinking of the Lions. You're getting your formerly downtrodden organizations
yes.
mixed up.
Yes. There you go. You're right. It is Ulbrich. It is Ulbrich.
I watch Hard Knocks, and I like Ulbrich a lot.
Yeah, I mean, my memory of Ulbrich this summer was when he said, "Hey guys, look at this. This guy is our quarterback." And like literally the next game, he was out for the year. This is our guy.
The next game, Larry. You know, I told you. Did I tell you this? When you go to PFF and you filter for time, that you go to time to throw the longest average quarterback. And you filter for zero for one pass attempt. Aaron Rodgers' longest time to throw in the NFL last year, the play he got hurt on, would have averaged the slowest time to throw in the league.
Ulbrich would be great. I mean, he's a Niner. He's a former Niner. So, and he's really tough. He's smart. I liked what I heard when he was on the live mic too at the was it the Senior Bowl? I think they might have coached the Senior Bowl.
Oh, you just listening to him? I did not watch any of that footage, just watching him talk to players and stuff.
Yeah, he's got a real presence about him.
Did we hit the guys? I had a few more questions for you. Did we hit the guys that you wanted to hit from the Senior Bowl? Did you want to hit some of that stuff?
Well, the one guy that I really think is, one of the safest picks in the entire draft, the Niners met with today, it's Cedric Gray from North Carolina. And if Greenlaw is not going to be, Cedric Gray to me is one of the safest players in the entire draft. Guy's got 3 years in a row, I think, where he's had well over 100 tackles. I watched him in the All-Star game in the fourth quarter of the All-Star game. This guy's going a million miles an hour. He's 235 pounds and just instinctive as there is. To me, that is the safest pick in the entire draft right there.
Wow.
And if they could get him, that would be the guy that I'd want. Because this guy, he wore 33 for Carolina. He flies all over the place. He makes plays in the backfield. He can drop into coverage. I mean, this guy is one of the most productive football players in the country.
And you lean productivity.
To me, if you can marry productivity with elite like traits athletically, that's why to me, it's like if you start with these are the guys and then of those guys who looks great at the combine, I think that's really what you're looking for. That's when you find Aldon Smith, when you have the guy who's like, oh, my God, he's a freak workout guy. Oh, my God, look at the production. And then you sit there and go, wow, you want the guys that when you get to camp in July, your coaches come up to the scouts and are like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this guy because his motor runs a million miles an hour. He's the fastest guy in our unit. And, he's an incredible athlete and he knows how to play.
NFL Combine TV schedule, defensive linemen, linebackers on Thursday, DBs and tight ends on Friday. Quarterbacks, receivers, running backs on Saturday, and then offensive linemen on Sunday.
The biggest thing is, the irony of the combine guy is that the thing that gets the biggest headlines are the 40 times for the wide receivers, and yet the thing that matters the least are the 40 times for the wide receivers. So I do think that's funny, but. If you look at the top 45 or top 50 times, here it is right here. John Ross, Henry Ruggs. Now Ruggs is incarcerated. Marquise Goodwin, Tyquan Thornton, J.J. Nelson, Jacoby Ford, Darius Hayward-Bey, Velus Jones, Paris Campbell, Andy Isabella, Curtis Samuel, Calvin Austin, Will Fuller, Trey Palmer, Danny Gray, Mecole Hardman. D.K. Metcalf is like the only guy on this list. And then there's Mike Wallace.
The biggest of all those guys, too, right?
Yeah, easily.
But so he's the most unique prospect, even in that group, he's an outlier.
Of the 25 wide receivers that are listed there, 16 are busts or trending towards being busts. And, once again, Cooper Kupp is awesome, and he ran 4.6. So it's just. Yeah, Ayuk probably ran 4.5. 2 or something like that, 4.49, something like that. high 4.4s, low 4.5s. That would be my guess. But I mean, there aren't too many these guys that run for the stopwatch. It's awesome, but it's not a track meet. It's a football game. So you've got to be able to stay healthy. So you can't be tiny like John Ross.
Well,
I mean, I actually think Ruggs was going to be special, to be honest. But of course, he had the worst DUI mistake of all time.
Yeah, he was starting to come on. You know, the guy who kind of fits that bill is Brendan Rice, who is 6'3", 210. Speed is not his thing. You know, I've said this a lot because I covered him even back at Colorado. He did a good job of just being Brendan and not Jerry Rice's son.
Yeah.
And maybe part of it is they don't look the same in terms of just like they're, you know, when you see him, you don't see Jerry. I don't know about you. You don't see Jerry, right? He's not trying to play like Jerry. And maybe that's because he didn't grow up getting coached by Jerry. You know, I think their relationship has blossomed a little later. And so he had to be his independent self for a lot of his youth. And when he showed up at Colorado, he was not a guy who, you know, at that time, it was pre-prime. You were not, these were not five-star prospects showing up at Colorado when he showed up at Colorado. And, you know, he was tough. He was a returner. So what's your bet right now? I got three options for you. Both Brendan Rice and Frank Gore Jr., one of Brendan Rice and Frank Gore Jr., or neither of Brendan Rice and Frank Gore Jr. end up on the 49ers.
I love when, and don't forget McCaffrey's brother
and Max McCaffrey. Yeah.
Luke
McCaffrey,
Luke. They already had Max.
They had Max. Max is on the Dolphins staff now, right?
I don't know where Max is, but
he's on an NFL staff.
You know, Christian told me that he thinks Luke's going to run really well. I watched the film. I kind of doubt that. He doesn't seem really, really fast to me. But Christian says he's really fast. He played quarterback. This was his first year at wide receiver.
He's just a different. He looks like the rest of the McCaffrey's, not like Christian, right? A little lankier.
He looks like the dad.
And the mom is where the speed came from, as we know. Lisa is the speedster.
Okay. I didn't realize.
Yeah, Lisa's the speed.
Well, it wasn't the dad. The dad was a big possession guy. But I like Brendan Rice and Frank Gore Jr. I think they're both really good. I like Brendan Rice a ton. He had 12 touchdowns this year. He's big. He's 6'4", 210. I think he's going to run an underrated 40, to be honest, and maybe wind up in the mid-third round.
You just told me 40s don't matter.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't matter at the top end. Like, don't fall in love with 4.22. But you're now we're talking about in the context of productive wide receivers.
Got it.
Brendan Rice had double digit touchdowns. How many guys had double digit touchdowns in college football this year at receiver? Him, Malachi Corley, Roman Wilson, who's terrific for the Wolverines, Adonai Mitchell from Texas, Troy Franklin from Oregon, Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas, Adunze, Neighbors, and Harrison. I think those are the guys that had double digit scores. So I love Brendan Rice. To me, what Brendan Rice plays like, the reason I love him is he doesn't have Jerry's body type. He's a little bigger,
yeah,
and not as fast. I would say, you know, Jerry didn't run a great 40. This guy may run a better 40, but I don't know that I think Jerry was definitely faster. But it's Jerry's seriousness about his craft that comes screaming across the film when you watch Brendan Rice. He is serious. He is a serious football player, and he does so many of the little things really well. The toe tap on the sideline, shielding defenders, keeping him stacked on his hip on the turn. Just so many working back to the quarterback. He's a quarterback's best friend. He's really, really advanced in a lot of ways. So he's very serious about his craft as a receiver. So that tells me that, you know, that's almost more important in some ways than some of the measurables. So I love Brendan Rice. And as far as Frank Gore's kid, I don't see what's not to like. I mean, I keep seeing that people are saying that Frank Gore's kid is going to go like in the seventh round. But I watch him. He looks just like Frank. I saw him in the East-West Shrine game. He had a little run off the left side. And he took it to the house. I mean, he full speed cuts just like Frank. I mean, I've never seen an athlete look more like his dad than Frank Gore Jr. looks like Frank Gore Sr. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah. I don't, it's like watching Jim Harbaugh and Jack Harbaugh stand next to each other, especially as Jim's aged, you know, they look so similar.
I want them both. I would say get me. I think you can get Frank Gore Jr. in the seventh round. And I think you can get, or maybe even undrafted. And I think you can get Rice's kid. The Niners have two picks in the third round.
Yeah.
And one of those picks I would use on him.
My big, and we're starting to see it now, we're getting the interviews. My big draft annoyance is falling in people loving guys who tell, like the kind of guy like gets up there and tells you how different he is, you know, like, oh, this is what I'm about. And I could get rid of all that stuff, man. It drives me crazy. You know, the type of person these prospects, and I get that they have to promote themselves to a degree, but like, you know, the more I watch, the more I get why, you know, some in the scouting community they're not looking for well-rounded. They're not looking for, you know, guys with other plans. I mean, they want football players. And
well, I mean, it's like if you go to any job interview and you tell them that you're super passionate about something that's even noble, but it's not what they do, you're not going to get the job.
Did you watch Adam Peters talk yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
I just thought him talking about Brock was his thing was not. Now, Brock, the guy impressed them, but this goes back to your point. His thing on Brock was the college productivity. That's what jumped out to him, right? It wasn't that Brock came in and was telling him what kind of guy he is. That's not Purdy's MO. The college productivity is what made them like Brock Purdy. And, yeah. You know, I think we get a little this week. I love watching the other stuff at the combine. I don't know. Is Mayock back? I miss Mayock. But I love all the breakdowns.
You're right.
But I don't the clips of guys telling you who they are. I don't impress me. But I think most of that stuff people they can see through it too.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, you know, one thing I would say to everybody who watches the combine is, and I, you know, when I was super young, and I was working in the Canadian League, you know, the defense coordinator would be like, oh, you know, you love all these, you know, young guys in the combine. He's like, you know, the average, most of these guys crap out. Most of these guys don't make it. And so that's kind of, the draft is being good at the draft is being able to identify false favorites because they're all favorites, right? They're all the best player on their team. So you have to, most of them aren't going to make it. So you have to figure out who's going to make it, who's not going to make it, and the guys who aren't going to make it, why aren't they going to make it? And so you always kind of look thinking negatively. But, you know, Walsh looked at it the other way. He said, hey, what can a guy do? You know, what can I lean on? What traits does he have that I can lean on? So, you know, it's just about figuring out, you know, one to me is how much do you, especially quarterback, it's, are you productive? And then do you, how smart are you? Because you've got to be really smart. And then how dedicated are you to the process? Do you like playing quarterback or do you live to play quarterback? And to me, you got to work so damn hard to be a quarterback. You got to work like a coach. So you got to find that guy who just lives for it. And Brock Purdy is much more that guy than, like, let's say a Jimmy Garoppolo. And so I think that's a big part of the evaluation. I personally, in this draft, kind of like Joe Milton, not because I think Joe Milton is a good quarterback, just because I'm so freaking intrigued by that profile. I mean, you're talking about 6'5", 240, maybe the greatest arm I've ever seen. I mean, the guy threw 90 yards on their spring game, just like, you know, after the thing was over, just to show off for the fans. But I mean, Joe Milton is just a monster as far as size, speed, arm strength. And they, you know, to me, it's the Niner quarterback room is going to be Brock, Brandon Allen. I think Darnold's going to move on. They're going to find somebody in this draft that they like. I love the opportunity in this situation where they're at to take a big swing in the middle rounds or late rounds on Joe Milton.
I don't like it, Larry. I would not draft a quarterback in this draft if I were the Niners. I don't like the late round quarterbacks in this draft for the 49ers. I mean, Joe Milton is the antithesis of every Shanahan profile quarterback, right? Arm strength and athleticism. Like, he can't run it. That's not a guy that can come run the offense if he has to on short notice.
But you may wind up with a guy who flashes some major talent that somebody trades for at some point. I like other guys too. I like Austin Reed. I like Carter Bradley. I mean, those are the two guys that I think fit their system.
I know, but the Ron Wolf thing, you know, take a quarterback every year, whatever. I would not do it this year. I wouldn't mess with it. I wouldn't plug a rookie in to Brock's quarterback room and ask him to help the guy out. I'd get another. I mean, it could be a second year guy. I'd get somebody else to put in there behind Brandon Allen. And I wouldn't, you know, this team is so good with fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks, Larry, at all the other positions. And they need depth at all these other positions. I would not use any of those picks on quarterback this year. I really
will. I hear you, but you know, I hate the kid they met with. They met with Keaton Slovis. I'm not a Keaton Slovis guy. I really didn't like him. Keaton Slovis. Yeah, didn't like him at USC. And to me, he's been worse in his two stops since.
I know, but as an undrafted guy, like, give me a low profile guy that no one's going to pay attention to, and let Brock have his QB room for the first time in his career.
I mean, that could be Carter Bradley. It could be Austin Reed. could be Devin Leary, Sam Hartman, somebody like that. But Michael Pratt is kind of had a good year this year for Tulane. He's interesting. I thought Spencer Rattler, believe it or not, looked good in the All-Star game. He moved around.
See, that's another example of a guy, big profile, you know, has been the dude. I'm not bringing him into this team and this QB room. Not right now. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
We could argue about this.
The other one here is, you know, I kind of like Carson Wentz and some of the, you know, existing guys that you could maybe pick off in the, you know, veterans.
I don't like Wentz either. God, we I love how much we disagree on these quarterbacks. There's no way I'm bringing Wentz into that locker room. Not a chance.
All Wentz right, we got to go. The Niners like four times.
We got to roll, right? We got to go. You got to go.
Yeah, I got to do a little Bleacher Report hit here.
Okay. All right. There we go. That's it for this. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel. Appreciate that, everybody. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.